Fred Film Radio, Locarno Film Festival, Switzerland.
Joining us at this time on the Big Fred Tuesday is filmmaker Stefan Jaeger. Stefan, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
So it's a pleasure to have you on. We'll be talking about Monte Verità, a screening in the Piazza Grande section of the Locarno Film Festival. Very exciting. But for the listeners who are not familiar with it, would you mind just saying a few words of introduction so that we can get into it in more detail?
Yeah, I always say that Monte Verita was the first place where the flower power movement started. It was in 1900 in Switzerland, in the south of Switzerland, in Ticino. And there were lots of people coming together who didn't accept any longer the rules of the society. They invented an utopia. They invented a new form of living, a community. They were eating vegan. They were like living in unity with the nature. And they were like for equal rights for women and men. And they had no problems with gender. And this was really amazing. And it happened like more than 100 years ago here in Switzerland.
And this film in particular is sort of driven by the narrative of this woman, this unhappy kind of wife, frustrated wife who feels physically and mentally just in trouble. And she travels to Monte Verità where she hopes she can kind of, that something will happen to turn her life around. Fair
yes,
to say?
Exactly. Yeah. And she's the only invented person because all the other people like Hermann Hesse, like Ida Hoffmann, Isadora Duncan, yeah, they were real and they have been there on this Monte Verita.
That's right. And yeah, it is like a real, this is something that I feel we should emphasize. It is kind of a real thing. It really happened. I'm curious that it's not, I'm surprised that it's not talked about nearly as much as it probably should, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that was fascinated me as a director, learning that nobody ever did a movie about it. Of course, yeah, there have been some documentaries, but on a fictional way, you can go much further and really can condensify what happened there.
Can we give a shout out to the screenwriter, actually, of the film?
Mm-hmm. Cornelia Narax, it's her first long feature script. Uh-huh. It's amazing. And she came to me with it around 6 years ago. It was a first draft, completely different. Then we started from scratch and she was a former student of the University Zurich of the film school. And then, she had the same idea as I had, like to tell the story through a fictional character, mm-hmm, to tell the story of the Monte Verita. And she was very close to the protagonist and she really could tell me about the interior, about the movements, about what happened to her. So this was a great collaboration.
Right, yeah. And from a filmmaker's perspective, leaving aside for a second the whole aspect of Monte Verita, is there anything that stimulates you, perhaps visually, about making a movie that's set in this particular time period at the beginning of the 20th century?
Yeah, it was also the photography that we invented, and up today nobody knows who took all those pictures of the Monte Verita that you can see in the museum that's up there on the Monte Verita. And so this was for me as a director very challenging, you know, to find a way how can we make it feel, what does it mean to take pictures in those days as a woman in particular.
Yeah. Just to get back to the sanatorium and Monte Verita, I forgot to mention, but maybe you have thoughts that you'd like to share. Do you think that these types of sanatoriums played a greater role in shaping modern society than they sometimes get credit for?
Yeah, there were many all around Europe, maybe even in America. I haven't done the research based on America. And this is very interesting because they were somehow connected. They were all over the world. And even during World War II, there still were places like this. They became an exile for Jewish people, Jewish artists, before they went to America to escape the Nazi regime. So this is interesting. I think it influenced a lot of people, as did the Flower Power movement in 68. You know, still today we can tell that in those days, they were really fighting for equal rights for women and men. And so therefore, I would say, yes, it definitely had an impact of what happened to the world.
And did you do anything to get that feeling of community among the cast members of this film? Like some type of workshop or activities to create some type of bond between the characters?
Yeah, absolutely. So we lived like together during the shooting, also because of corona restrictions.
Oh, right.
Absolutely. And we had a week of rehearsal with the main cast on the Monte Verita. We were hiking. We were like going into a cave where it's said that Hermann Hesse used to be there for months to meditate together with the founder of the Monte Verita. And we really got into the nature, really got a sense of how could it have felt those days to live there.
So this movie was shot during the coronavirus pandemic.
Yes, in 4 countries with 3 co-production partners.
Wow.
It was an amazing endeavor. So to say, and we were very lucky. There were storms shortly after we shot. We had to shorten the script. But in the end, we did it. And it's really amazing that almost like 11 months ago, we didn't even start to shoot yet. So.
Oh, wow.
This was all within a year it happened and it was finished. And of course, it was the dream to premiere on the Piazza Grande, where we thought the film should belong to. So this is what happened. It seems like magic coming out of or being connected to the Monte Verita.
I feel one of the important ones is psychoanalysis, right?
Absolutely. I mean, through the character of Otto Gross, who was a student of Sigmund Freud, it was very interesting to find out that he really had relationship with his patients, which nowadays is hardly to imagine, but he really believed in empathy, in coming close to a patient through his personal story, through getting attached to him. And he also was like starting to make therapy in nature by walking and not just lying there like Sigmund Freud did on a chair or on a bench. Yeah. So this was mesmerizing. And Max Hubacher, who played Otto Gross, he's an amazing actor. You know, he really jumped into this very ambiguous character who is not just good or bad, who is really like in between and who was searching for a sense in life himself and who was threatened by his father, who really dominated him. And so therefore, psychoanalysis was a very important aspect of writing the script.
What about the lead character of the film? What can you tell me about collaborating with the actress? What's her name?
Marisi Riegner.
Right, yeah.
She's fascinating. She was the only mother we casted because all the others, they didn't have children yet. So therefore, she was in the same position as our protagonist, you know, become an artist,
right, yeah.
Become mother. What does it mean? Is there a choice you have to take? And still today, you know, if you're an artist and you want to have a family, it's really tough to have both and to manage both in a way that you can say, yeah, I did it in a good way. I could handle it. And so Marisi is, she was always casted for younger characters because basically she's really 29 when she acted in our movie as the age of the character. And she looks younger, but this was very intriguing because I thought that makes it even tougher, you know, for the story to make clear that a woman that kept her youth has to take a decision.
I guess it goes to show that despite the fact that this film is set at the beginning of the 20th century, it's also very contemporary, right? Because a lot of the things that it talks about, they're very much part of modern life, too.
Absolutely. That was the goal, you know, not to tell a story that seems like over, but to have all those themes, like also the question about are you allowed to take your life? So because Otto Gross really was supporting the idea of a self-defined euthanasia, that you can say, okay, you're allowed to decide yourself about death. Which is also a very modern question. We in all societies, we're discussing it. Also the subject of veganism, you know, about not eating animals, about protecting animals. Then also about the equal rights, what I've said in the beginning, that you really have to yeah, it's amazing how modern they were thinking and how modern they were trying to cope with all those subjects that were, yeah, that were intriguing that those days and they're intriguing nowadays.
I don't think we mentioned it at the start, but how did people react to it who knew? Were they also getting a lot of criticism for what they were doing?
Yeah, basically it was interesting because people in the village, they weren't really criticizing them. Of course, the priest in the village, he didn't like what they did up there with the nudity stuff and lying naked in the sun to get healed. He didn't like that, and he wrote a letter to the ministry. But there was a police officer who really accepted what they did, and he had the same beliefs, and so people liked them because they gave them work. I mean, Ascona, the little village nearby, was a very poor village. They just had just could go on the lake and catch fish, and that was it. More or less. And so they got work through the Monte Verita. They could build their houses. They could help them install the electricity and so on. So there was a good bond between them, but there were the critics. They came from inside, you know, there were people who saying, no, the rules that Ida Hoffmann, the main founder, said, they're not good. We have to live even more free. We don't have to pay anybody. They have to work for free. And she said, no, we have to pay the people who help us. So there were conflicts. And then there was the conflict that we even tell in the story that Erich Mühsam, the anarchist, he was writing a book about it. And he said, this all doesn't work. So you should eat meat. It's not good to be vegan. And this was interesting because I think such utopias mostly do not work throughout the people who founded the utopia because they start to fight about the right way to define utopia.
It's part of human nature, I guess.
Yeah, that's a pity.
Stefan, so this is awesome. It's a great film, Monte Verita. It'll be screening in Piazza Grande in Locarno. That's the open-air screening, right? You excited about that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, this is such an amazing, it's a dream of, I think, every filmmaker to be there with like lots of thousands of spectators and to be part of this. And even after Corona, it's much more special, you know, that to see that cinema has a power of itself. It has a magic that will be forever.
And I thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Matt. It was nice talking to you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.